103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. One of 3.2 Dublin City FM. It is The Sod Show with Brian Green and Peter Donegan for Friday, the 28th of March 2014. Good afternoon, Dublin. We are 103.2 Dublin City FM, and it is The Sod Show, brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at greensacks.ie. Check them out in your supermarket, where you can drop them into your trolley. Coming up on today's programme, we return to Glasnevin Cemetery. We were there last week and we were talking with Philip Bryan, and what a wonderful talk it was, so much so that we had to split it into two parts. This week we return to the second part, and Philip is talking about pesticides and the fertility of the soil at Glasnevin. Over to Philip, who's talking with Peter Donegan.
So I've got to find weed killers nowadays that are far less potent to keep control of this cemetery. And as time goes by, the soil is going to get better. It is going to become more fertile. You know, wildlife, there was a stage here where if you dug any area, you wouldn't find a worm in it. The worms are coming back. Nature has a great way of taking back, as it did before, way back 25, 30, 40 years ago. It took this place over. It made it wild. We've tamed it. But if you leave it go, it will go wild again.
In defence of what's noted on the chemicals thing, I should add, if you don't know what DDT is, apart from it being a wrestler, when I was about 7 in the WWF, DDT was used to kill everything. I jest in saying if you had a toothache and gangrene, it was given to you. It was used to spray fruit, to kill vegetables, to kill weeds, to kill absolutely everything. And I'm not knocking anybody in saying this, but horticulturally, number one, landscaping was not a thing. Again, chatting with Philip, I would have got called gay when I was in school. It's a joke, it's grand, it's all fine. You know, I'm not going to end up on the Oprah Winfrey show over it, but because I was into plants and flowers, and that's what it was. And now the schools are teaching horticulture to 5, 4, 3, 6-year-olds. I did it with Greensacks. I did the schools talks for them on their composting and, you know, recycling at home. And we genuinely did not know how much was too much. It just wasn't a thing. It is now. It's great to see. And irrespective of how you think, if you have ever being responsible for looking after a grounds that is greater than the size of a balcony or a garden or 15 acres that is not to do with food, and it is just about an entire necessary that modern day tools, be they liquid or be they of machine, are used. So, you know, in the nicest way of saying, could you have done it any different if you're around in 1980? Probably not. 1990, things started to change. And the list today, I jest in saying, and I double underline this, do not try this at home, kids, but you could just about drink what is available on the chemicals list in this country. And that's by European legislation, etc., etc. You know, my drinks cabinet at home has entirely changed over the seasons. Quick fire round, what happens to all the flowers that get put on graves that die, that pass away? You mentioned biodiversity. Does that play a role? And I also know you have a florist on site here. Do you heckle them for it? Can I ask you, is that an okay question?
Yeah. Well, when people come in and leave flowers in graves, it depends on the time of the year. I'll just start, like, Christmas has just gone by. So we would have hundreds of thousands of wreaths all over the grounds, all over our cemeteries. People bring them in, place them on the grave. We'll leave them there for approximately a month. I was out today and I've noticed when you mentioned De Valera's grave, there is one actually very close to his grave, which has actually been damaged by frost. It's gone brown and it's looking unsightly. Now, that one I'll take off. If they're looking fresh, I'll leave them as long as I can for about a month. And then we, as the cemetery, my lads will have to go out and they'll have to remove all those. And up to now, they've gone into basically into skips. And I hate to say it, but I think off to landfill because they're so difficult to recycle. They've got a mixture of plastic, wire, and then they got the Oasis, which is very difficult. And then they've got the organic, which if we could separate all, would be brilliant to recycle, but we can't. Having said that, I am, and I have bought in recycling into Dardistown, Newlands Cross, Parmastown. I'm bringing in recycling into Glasnevin. I will be making a compost area for all our green waste. All our other waste will be looked after by going to recycle depots. If it's not recycled, it'll go to solid fuel recovery. So I'm hoping to finish with going to landfill altogether in all our cemeteries group, which is a very, very good thing to do. It's very good to have it behind you that you're being environmentally friendly. My green waste, as an example, what happens to all that? And I've been questioned about that lately. What happens when we have a big mountain of it? What do we do with it? And at the moment, I would have a massive amount of chipped wood bark from all the tree work we do here. And other countries have had days where they'd ask the public to come in and they would have a tree mulchless day where they'd actually give the mulch away to people to put around their trees. So it brings people into the cemetery. It's another dynamic to the cemetery. You know, it's all about the cemetery to me. It's about death, but it's also about life. Most of the people I deal with in the cemetery are alive. You know, if you think about it logically, everybody that I talk to here, they're alive. Yes, I do deal with the dead people, but they're dealt with and they go to the grave, they rest, and that's it. But everybody that comes to me is alive, they're questioning, they're wanting to know, they want an experience, they come in to have the tour, and the tour has to be expanded, and I'm using the grounds as that tool to expand the tour out. You mentioned children. We have a massive amount of children come through here. All the history teachers come here. It's a great, great learning tool. I have had kids come in here to plant trees from school, so and they know where their tree is planted. So again, it's another dynamic. I'd like to set up here, and I've talked to Mervyn about it, is an outdoor type of classroom area, eating area, all this. So we encourage people to come in, encourage these kids. These kids are going to be the future. These are the ones that are going to bring their kids back in here. So we're starting. It's like when I go back to 20, 30, 40 years ago, you used to plant the seed. We're still planting seeds. We're planting seeds every day. And those kids that come in, I mean, I would bring children in here at 2 or 3 years of age and let them scribble on a pad on the floor. They'll remember it. They're like sponges. And if they remember these little things in their brain, they might say, "Mommy, I remember a place years ago that used to have a huge, big, spiky thing into the sky." And they go, "Yeah, that's Glasnevin Cemetery." And then they walk in here one day and go, "Wow, that's the thing I remember." So it's we're looking at making this place an all-encompassing kind of experience for the whole family, from young to old. And it's not just all about death. It's about death and life. And it's putting the two together. It's marrying the two. It's very difficult.
Are you proud of what you've done here? Do you walk past and say, "I had a hand to play, a role, I am responsible, I am the man, I changed this place"? And I said it to you again before we came on air that I remember when I first started working, when I first came out of college, and there was a wee man in my head that looked like he was standing on stage in the Abbey Theatre saying, "I am a horticulturalist." And then you realised you were landscaping a motorway on, you know, extension off Dunanger Road, and it actually wasn't that pretty. But still, the little man was, you know, got a little bit smaller. But also, when you do something at now 37 years of age and you build a lovely garden, you get to walk past and say, I did that. You know, I was the brain, I was the mind, I was the person, I was the hands. Do you have that? Is there a great sense of pride because the transformation was so vast and you remember it so well, and you maybe from the other side of the gates in the Botanic Gardens used to heckle it slightly? Is that a fair way to describe it?
I would be extremely proud of what I've done. I don't think there's many people that get an opportunity that I've had. I still to this day come into work with you know, a wanting to be here, an excitement to be here. There's always chances to evolve things here, to think up new ideas. They're always looking for new ideas. So it's not a job that I'd ever go stale in. In fact, if I ever did end up going to Tail, I'd probably end up leaving. But I just don't see it happening. There's too much going on. There's too much to go on into the future. So where we've got so far, yeah, hugely proud of it. I love coming in the gate. I can come in the gate and say, yes, I am responsible for that. It's not just me, though. It's important to know that it is a team. I'm part of a huge team. I'm part of a management. I mean, there's Mervyn, there's George, there's everybody. And we're all planning. We're all working together. We're all trying to aim for the same goal. It might be a bit erratic at times getting there, but we are all going to the same place. And I'm part of that. And yes, the grounds are very important. But I would never have imagined that when I started in horticulture, and there's a lot of horticulturists out there wondering, what are you going to do in life? Where am I going to go? And my one advice to the guys out there is do as much as you possibly can. Go to garden centres, go to golf courses. I did it all. I tried to vary a huge amount of what I do. And what that does for you, it gives you opportunities. And the opportunities, when they come up, have to be looked at and recognised. And I give you an example here. My experience from working on the Langer golf course out there in Portmarnock, I was there for 5 years and I learned all about greenkeeping there. I use greenkeeping techniques here. I use a lot of the greenkeeping products that are out. I use growth retardants here if I can around headstones to stop the grass from growing too fast. Again, that's me using sneaky ways of reducing my labour costs, which is my major labour cost. I have to up my staff in the summer to 8 or 12. But I had all the time trying to reduce my staff, to reduce my costs. We are a charity and we have our budgets. So it's always a battle. But horticulturists that are studying out there, you know, I think there's a massive chance for guys. And I don't know anybody in my position. It's very odd. I mean, if you look at me sitting here, I'm in a suit and a tie. How many horticulturists ever get into a suit and a tie? Very few. But the opportunities are there. They have to be looked at. And I'd say to young men coming in horticulture, look at the cemetery aspect of it. It's not looked at. I know all through Europe, I mean, Mervyn was mentioning before about how Europe has developed, how cemeteries in Europe have developed. And I'm pretty certain there's huge opportunities out there for young men to go out and work in the cemetery industry, looking after cemeteries. The Commonwealth War Graves Commission are huge. Their standards are second to none. I base my standards on their standards. I like to keep this place as immaculate as possible. I want people to come in the gate and go, wow. But I'm constantly developing. I'm constantly learning. I'm in my 50s now and I'm still learning. I'll go to my grave never knowing horticulture. It's such a vast subject. So we've got to continuously educate ourselves, keep looking. The web is a massive resource. And there are opportunities out there for other horticulturists to come forward, come into the cemetery sector, if you want to call it that, and develop cemeteries, because they're a whole new area of horticulture that's really, I don't think, has been explored.
Standards, beautiful, stunning, immaculate grounds that they are, teams and boards of management that deserve and rightly so recognition. I know from building gardens, the best ones usually come from two places, and one is the heart / the head, and the other is from somebody's arse pocket. I'm not a silly man. I'm obviously in business and I build gardens for a living. I park that to one side. How much of a budget is this place soaking up? How much does it cost? You can give me a roundabout way of answering that, or you can choose to bypass the answer. But who's funding all of this? Bearing in mind you're a charity and it costs what, a 5 or 7 quid to come on a tour here?
The day-to-day maintenance of the cemetery for the whole year, that comes from cemetery funding itself, as like being a charity. We try and raise monies to pay for everything that happens within our organisation, and grounds maintenance is one of those. The development of the grounds, taking that separate, has been very, very much assisted by the OPW. and the National Development Plan. They have been a huge, huge help. In fact, without the OPW and their backing and everything they've done for us, we wouldn't have got to where we are today. They've been a massive help to us. Having said that, everything that we do within the cemetery with the help of the OPW, we have to look at trying to maintain that. And that's our difficulty going into the future. That's why we developed the museum. That's why we're looking for all different angles. That's why I'm trying to develop the grounds to make it a beautiful place. That people, I would like people to arrive in Ireland, Americans or wherever, and they get to the airport and somebody, or it could be a taxi man, just says, you want somewhere nice to go? Go to the Glasnevin Cemetery. It's beautiful. Or go there in the autumn or go there in the spring. But just that people start to come in here, see what we've got, look around the famous graves, experience the whole thing that we have to offer here. If they do that, it means that our revenues will go up. If our revenues go up, being a charity, we're a non-profit making organization, all that money gets put back in. So naturally, that's what we want to happen. And it's going to be difficult going forward to maintain it. You know, their standards are rising the whole time. We're taking in areas every single year. We're taking in more and more and more areas. And I think people can see that we're slowly but surely moving up the grounds. We did start at this end of the cemetery, which is more towards people who know the Gravediggers Pub or Kavanagh's down in Prospect Square. We more or less started at that end, and we were working our way up towards Finglas. But 140 acres, it's slow. Now, having said that, it's all to do, the speed of it, to do with the amount of money that we have to spend. And that has varied due to economic circumstances.
Irrespective of crock of gold or not, no matter how big it is, it's a journey well worth taking. The website is Glasnevin Cemetery, cemetery.ie. Come in, have a cup of tea. Don't pay for the tour. Do pay for the tour. Take a walk around the grounds. Sit down, look up at the big sequoias. Relax on a beautiful sunshiny day. If you can and you are taking the tour, the staff at reception are absolutely wonderful. I asked him if Shane is on. He's obviously, how would you say, it's a bit like knowing the celeb within the graveyard tour zones, and you can tell him you heard it on the Sod Show. In the meantime, you want one more? There are 107 brides and 13 grooms buried here. How's about that? Or 351 rocks and 270 stones. Hey! Yeah. Typical Peter to end on a joke. In the meantime, with thanks to greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, to Philip and to Mervyn and all of the team at Glasnevin Cemetery, a wonderful thanks, and also to you at home for listening. Brian, it is back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Philip, and thanks, Peter Donegan. Isn't it wonderful to listen to somebody who, you know that they love their job, just by the way they talk about it, the way that you know they probably turn up for work early in the morning and they stay there a little bit later in the evening, because what they do is all important to them, and it tells and it shows in the work that they do. And I get that impression listening to Philip, that he's that kind of guy, and the team around him must be much the same. Glasnevin Cemetery and Museum are both the guardians and storytellers of over 1.5 million people. From the ordinary to the truly extraordinary, these people helped shape the Ireland of today. Glasnevin Cemetery want to share their stories and times with you through their tours of the cemetery, a visit to the museum, and through genealogy search of your family tree. Glasnevin Cemetery are a not-for-profit organisation, and all proceeds are used to sustain and improve the cemeteries to ensure they are places of beauty, interest and intrigue. We did hear over the previous show about Glasnevin Cemetery and last week's show that they have opened up the divide between the cemetery and their next-door neighbours in the Botanic Gardens. And if you've been a long time listener of the Sod Show, you'll know that I'm back on the Sod Show 45 weeks. And I was there in the beginning for about the first year and a bit, and then I was gone for a gap. But all throughout, I've always been haggling and hassling Peter to take the Sideshow microphones to the Botanic Gardens. Now, I think we should go again, because I haven't been. And I want to see them and experience them and put the microphones there. So let's see if that can happen, because it's springtime and things are going to be coming into bloom. So I think we should go through that divide from the cafe and into the Botanic Gardens here on Sideshow. Why not? It's 103.2 Dublin City FM Sideshow, brought to you in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out at www.greensax.ie. Check them out in the supermarket, where you can drop them into your shopping trolley. Now, at this stage in the Sideshow, I wonder whether or not I'm going to get into trouble for my music choice for Song of the Week with Mr. Peter Donegan. Well, we do pick songs of a particular ilk and a particular genre. So if it's folksy, if it's hippie, if it's rock, we're on a safe side. So I'm not going to pick one of those songs today and play it a little bit risky and wonder, will Peter dislike the choice that I make? This day, 50 years ago, the 28th of March, 1964, an Irish man sailed a ship to the English Channel and started Radio Caroline. His name is Ronan O'Reilly. The radio station Radio Caroline is 50 today. The Fortunes recorded this song and it became the theme tune of Radio Caroline. Dublin City FM, The Fortunes and Caroline, marking the 50th anniversary of the coming on air of Radio Caroline. 50 years ago today. Did you know that you can get rid of some of your green waste at your local civic recycling centre? Dublin City Council accepts green garden waste at the following bring centres: Wimble Road, Crumlin, Dublin 12, Rathmines Waste Management Depot, Gulliston Terrace, Dublin 6, and on the north side, Collins Avenue Depot opposite DCU entrance in Dublin 9, and Oscar Traynor Road, Coolock, Dublin 5, beside the Garda station in Coolock. The charges for green waste are €2 per 80 litre bag, or €16 per cubic metre skip bag, which is available in all good hardware stores. Opening hours for the bring centres: Monday to Thursday are 9 to 4pm, Fridays 9 to 1pm, Saturdays 10 to 4pm, closed Sundays and bank holidays. You can pay on site for the disposal of green waste. It is important that you note cash machines at each site accept coins and exchange change only. Notes are not accepted. Staff do not have access to coins and you're asked to have your change available. Conditions: all green waste must be bagged. No commercial green waste will be accepted. That rules out landscapers, I suppose. Payment must be made for each bag of green waste presented at the Bring Centre. Skip bags require two people for handling and biodegradable waste only. So hedge trimmings, lawn clippings and light branches and leaves are accepted. So if you're looking for somewhere to get rid of that spring clean-up in the garden, consider your civic recycling centre. And finally, on the Sud Show, back to Glasnevin Cemetery and their cemetery museum. We noted at the start of last week's programme the passing of Shane McTamart, the historian with Glasnevin Cemetery Museum. And again, our thoughts with his colleagues, his family and friends. Shane, we miss you. The cemetery museums have some wonderful tours. The historical tour, the Joycean tour, literary and culture tour, the women of Glasnevin tour, the labour tour, the military history tour, the nature tour, the artist tour, shared history tour and family tours. I'll just focus on one which is very popular, the labour tour, political awareness among the common people in the 20th century caused by social and economic change was reflected in the demands for change at all levels of society, from Big Jim Larkin of the 1913 lockout to Frank Ryan, Margaret Skinner, Charlotte Despard, William X. O'Brien and the capitalist titan William Martin Murphy. The Labour Tour explores those who played an influential role in the introduction of so many to social reforms and of the rights and privileges that we all enjoy today. Guys, do consider a journey to Glasnevin and taking one of their tours. Highly recommended. It's 103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show. We're back next Friday at 3 p.m. Our thanks to Katrina on the blogs, Peter Donegan for producing, and our sponsors, greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out at greensax.ie on the internet, and check them out in the supermarket where you can drop them into your trolley. We'll talk to you next Friday at 3. Thanks for listening. Take care. 73s. Goodbye. Good luck and good listening.